Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Don't stress. Listen to the podcast at WTIC.com or on the free Odyssey app.
WTIC, we're talking about pay disparity or pay just right. Tom's calling from Hartford. Hi, Tom. Tom, go ahead.
Hello? How did you know this was me?
Because it says on your caller ID.
Ah, there you go. Hey, so I kind of caught the Hoda complaining about how much women are getting paid. And initially I didn't think you were getting the reason, but now I do after listening to you. But, I mean, I guess the answer here is instead of complaining about the pay disparity, I mean, it's all about how much the teams are bringing in, right? I mean, Indiana and the league, the WNBA, doesn't bring in a fraction of what the NBA does. So
exactly. So they pay commensurate with the power of the product that they deliver.
Exactly. So I'm not sure where Hoda was going with all this.
Well, she admitted as it went on. I was just listening to more of it, and she kind of admits that she's not making a point that makes any sense, but that she feels great emotional commitment to the idea that there's just something wrong with how big the number is for the NBA and how small it is for the WNBA.
Well, the small hardware store versus what Home Depot takes in, right?
There you go.
Anyways, thank you.
I will tell her that is the answer. Thank you for that, Tom. We'll take more calls coming up, 860-522-9842. Plus, we'll play some rants, 860-751-4698. So don't hang up. Hang in there. We'll get to you next. We've got plenty of time for calls. And
listen to the Todd Feinberg Show on the free Odyssey app. Download and like WTIC and follow Todd Feinberg today.
No, it's WTIC. We've got some calls to take. We've got some rants to play. We've got Tom Scott coming up at 5:40. Rick calling from Cheshire. Hi, Rick.
Look, the market will always dictate your value, and that's the way it should be. And we've gone around and around with this kind of argument with female sports, if you remember, with years and years of the female national soccer team complaining over and over again.
But they ended up getting a payout.
Yeah, they did. They whined enough. They cried enough that the men had to kick them money. They didn't kick a ball. They didn't play a game. They didn't touch the grass. They weren't on the pitch for any, but they got extra money. So, you know, Caitlin Clark, can you imagine if for whatever reason she was outside the box here and they gave her more money than other people or other players that were drafted last year in the spot that she's drafted?
Yep.
It would turn into a massive race issue.
And a mess. Absolutely.
Well, of course it would be. So, but, you know, like I said, the market's going to dictate. Why don't male fashion models make as much as female fashion models?
They should sue.
Because the market dictates that. Why don't they have a male Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition? Because no one's going to buy it. So the market dictates where you are. It doesn't even actually matter so much of your ability so much. It's the trade in which that you choose to get into, if that's what it is.
Yes.
And Caitlin Clark is a phenomenal basketball player. And that's what a phenomenal basketball player in the United States of America makes, female.
Yes.
Because everybody that complains on the side and saying why, and they just want to close their eyes and be blind to the reason why, go to a game, support, buy paraphernalia.
Yes. Somebody sent me Somebody sent me a stat which drives your point home beautifully, Rick. In 2020, the WNBA grossed $60 million and the NBA grossed $8.3 billion. How about that? That sums your point up very nicely. Thank you, Rick. Good to hear from you. And next up, John in New Britain. Hello, John.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up?
Just wanted to reiterate what the previous caller said. But in addition to that, the market dictating, obviously, cost of not only goods and services, their salary, but the cost of tickets, the cost of television revenues. Mm-hmm. More importantly, she just graduated college. Could she have made a choice with whatever her degree was to go into that field and potentially make significantly more money and piggyback off her notoriety off this national championship? I mean, it's about choices.
Well, I believe she's done the calculation, and she'll make the most money this way because this gives her a platform where she can pull in that extra endorsement money and such.
Correct. There are the endorsements. In the long run, though, NBA career, they're not very much with longevity. So, again, it is about choices, and if the choice she makes to go there as opposed to a degree in finance or something, again, it is what it is.
Right. But she's being paid well, I think, for somebody who's coming out of their senior year and in college getting the first job. Thank you for that, John in New Britain. Alan in Georgia. Hi, Alan.
Hi, Todd. How are you?
What's up?
One thing that's being overlooked in all of this is that the WNBA would not exist without the NBA subsidizing them $15 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
She has a job because of a subsidy.
Because of the successful league subsidizing the barely successful league.
Correct. I mean, if they're not being subsidized $15 million, that $60 million in revenue is now $45 million.
Mm-hmm.
What will she get paid then?
Maybe $58,000.
My point exactly.
Yeah.
And if you've got to subsidize it to make it go,
then
it's
what
really
is
not
it?
It's not a viable business model.
Well, they hope to grow it into one, I think. Thank you for that, Alan. I think you're right. Fred in Middletown. Hi, Fred.
Hey, I know the name Caitlin Clark, and I very much enjoyed a few of those games. She could single-handedly carry it up the stairs, the women's pay. Muhammad Ali did it for boxing. There was a chess player, Emmanuel Lasker, who did it around the turn of the century. And then, of course, Bobby Fischer did it in the modern time. I think she could be the one.
She
it
could be.
Definitely. Yeah. I think she's just got a tremendous appeal. She struck me as, I don't know, a Larry Bird, or she's a machine, you know.
Yes.
Very watchable.
Yeah, she's a transformative character who will likely change the marketplace, but it's the marketplace that has to be changed, not the other way around.
Right. They don't want to chase the NBA, though. That is a hideous freak show. For example, you got to go to China to make that kind of money. And I saw this video of American basketballers getting called the N-word in China as they got off the bus. And these were just fans of the other team. You know, to go to that level of success, you kind of got to sell a lot.
Whoa, the Chinese are turning into Americans, huh?
They're ugly, yeah. Yeah. All right. That's
interesting. Thank you, Fred. Good to hear from
you.
Bye-bye. 860-522-9842. Rant line number 751-4698. Let's hear some rants. You ready to roll here?
Hey, Todd, I just read in the paper that Waterbury got $659,000 out of an opioid settlement, and that more monies over the next 12 years will be coming in. So far, they've spent $193,000, or roughly 30% of that money, on a coordinator and staff to figure out where drug use is happening in Waterbury. And then so they can go out and dispense Narcan to people who are already taking drugs and are overdosing. Why should we spend money on a new bureaucracy to provide Narcan, which is you use it after the drug use has already occurred, when we can just go to the police and say, hey, policeman or woman, where's all the drug use happening in Waterbury? And I'll I can pretty much guarantee that with 99% accuracy, they can tell you instantly where all the drug use is going on.
No need for an administrative staff? Is that what you're saying?
So instead of making a new bureaucracy and spending all this money, why don't we take that money and spend it on, three or four investigators who can go out there and find the drug dealers, arrest them, put them in jail. And then if there's any money left over, that money can be used for drug abuse education for the people who are using drugs.
Yeah, they don't need education. They're the ones who could do the educating. This point is a really good point. And that is, what does government want to see happen? Do they want to see the best solution at the street level? That is what the caller is suggesting, that they ask the cops where all the drugs are being used, and then they can walk over there, as opposed to creating a bureaucracy. But politicians like the bureaucracies, because bureaucracies lead to permanent jobs, and permanent jobs lead to expanded support for the politicians who created them. And that's the scam of government.
Todd, I'm calling in to rant about our good friend Attorney General Tong in investigating the cost of groceries. I'm assuming it's because the cost is high and because it adds to the high cost of Connecticut, but why stop?
Whoa. It's not because the cost of groceries is high. It's because the political class, the very politicians, the scam artists, the liars and the cheats and the deceivers that the elected officials are, what they're trying to do is take the onus off of themselves for having made a disaster happen economically during COVID unnecessarily. They're trying to blame the grocers instead of having to accept the blame themselves.
And because it adds to the high cost of Connecticut, but why stop with groceries? Why don't we look at the high cost of property taxes? That seems to be a major driver for the state.
Government is the major driver of the high cost of living in Connecticut. Connecticut, the highest taxes in the country. Connecticut, the largest per person cost to live in the country. And these scammers don't want to face the truth. And I don't know why they're nervous about it. I'm not sure where anybody would get the truth, because there's no news media reporting it. But they're right to be nervous, because you would think truth like that would spread like wildfire once it's available.
How about the high cost of electricity in this state?
Yeah, that's highest in the country.
In the nation.
Absolutely.
There's any number of things, but I'm afraid he'd find out that he'd be investigating most of the politics in the state, whether
that's right.
It's municipal or state government.
That's right.
That's really driving up the cost of everything.
Yeah, except that he would have to investigate something that mattered, and he's not going to do that.
Hey, Todd said something about the government becoming drug dealers with the legalization of medical marijuana and marijuana. I don't agree with that for multiple reasons. One, marijuana grows naturally. It doesn't need to be created. It doesn't need anything. It just needs to grow. That's it.
Yeah, but what I was saying yesterday is that when they decided to create a bureaucracy to deliver marijuana to government-sanctioned stores that was grown in government-sanctioned factories so that government could collect taxes on it, what they did was convert us from an illegal black market into a legal government-controlled market. But actual marijuana legalization would consist of just letting us grow marijuana if we wanted to and let us sell it to each other or use it ourselves.
That, and it is medically proven that it helps. It's way better than opiates.
Yeah, I'm not denying any of that. I think everybody should have access to anything they want as long as they're willing to pay the price.
Opiates, painkillers. People smoke marijuana to avoid painkillers. And also, if the government did choose to be drug dealers, well, what about alcohol? Alcohol is a drug. Caffeine is a drug. Tylenol is a drug. I mean, of course, Tylenol doesn't give you the same effect, but alcohol is the number one cause of so many deaths.
Yeah, I agree with all that stuff. We have no argument. All I'm saying is that the government decided to switch sides. Instead of being the people who arrest you for selling or possessing marijuana, now they sell it to you and sanction your possession of it so they can collect the taxes.
Newsbreak. American Airlines announced today that they were going to diversity, equity, and inclusion for all their pilots. That's right. DIE. They want you to know that they're very moved and want you to know that they want you to DIE. That's right. Diversity, inclusion, and equity. That's right. They want you to die. That is all.
Thank you.
Hey, Todd, Jerry from Naugatuck. There's nothing democratic about the Democrat Party. My friends and I started calling Democrats Demrats. You know, like Dem, D-E-M, capital R-A-T-S, Demrats, because they are rats to what they've done to this country and the American people. They kiss the butt of every foreigner, whether they're living here or abroad, and the American working man has nothing. There's nothing for the American people with Joe Bananas Biden. That's my rant for today, buddy.
Thank you, Jerry. Good to hear from you.
Well, I have the name of a new board game. It's going to be called Where in the World is Joe? Pro-Palestinian protesters all across the United States yesterday, and not a word from Joe. People saying, on American soil, people shouting, death to America. People on American soil burning the American flag. Where in the world is Joe? But then again, Joe has to read cue cards when he meets with world leaders. And the cue card has to actually tell him when to pause. And Joe is worried about light bulbs. And this is what we are depending upon, cleaning up America. The world is on fire, and Joe is nowhere to be found. So, people, it is up to us. Save America. Vote Joe out. Vote the Democrats out.
That sounds like a great idea. Vote them all out. I'd like to see the government unoccupied by elected officials and bureaucrats as well. Let's clear the whole thing out. 860-522-9842. Rant at 860-751-4698. And it's Mark Christopher ready to go. He's ready.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
BPS Lawyers Traffic Center, what's happening, sir?
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Don't stress. Listen to the podcast at WTIC.com or on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, yeah. WTIC. Man, oh, man. Do we have fun still to go? All right, let's play another rant, and then Tom Scott will be here in just a few minutes. This being a Tuesday. And here we go. You ready for a rant? You ready? I'm ready, but it's not playing. What's going on? Come on, man. What's it doing? That's very weird. I don't know what happened. I did something to break it. Maybe this.
On the Israeli war, the capability of the Iran to carry out the war should be ended. It's amazing that a little country can cause so much trouble. And Israel is fighting for their lives. If you saw what was done October 7th, you would know what to do. Maybe aid should be given to the civilians. It's funny that a little country that we step on like a roach does all this to us.
Are you talking about Iran? Doing all this? You know, it doesn't take a big country. It just takes a country a little cash flow that they can invest in. Well, look, even in Gaza, you had Hamas with the ability to mount that kind of attack. Doesn't take a ton of money, especially if you're not worried about taking care of your people. Ray's calling from Middletown. Hi, Ray.
Hey, how's it going? Hey, I got a question about this mandate that Connecticut's trying to change as far as the EV cars and everything. They're talking about, you know, what this will do as far as, you know, the prices and stuff. And nobody's really said that what if they pass this, that Eversource or whatever is going to increase their rates because they're going to have to start building up the infrastructure of the state to basically support all this EV
yes,
vehicles.
But the whole it's, what's happened is the federal government funds these things. So the federal government, part of the appropriations, the infrastructure appropriations over the last couple of years, has money for Connecticut for building the infrastructure needed for electric cars. And that's why the Democrats are trying to pass this legislation so they can get the money from the feds. Everything's turned upside down. It doesn't make any sense. Nobody wants EVs. The EVs won't solve any problems, but they are part of an agenda for the left, and it's a financed agenda, so everybody wants to go along with it. Ray, thank you for the call. It's good to hear from you. We're going to the that's just how it works. We're going to the BPS Lawyers Traffic Center now, and we're going to check in with Mark Christopher, find out how the ride home goes, Mark.
It's Todd Feinberg. It's Todd Feinberg. Monday through Friday, 3 till 6 on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Yes, sir. It's WTIC. 860-522-9842. Who's here but Tom Scott? Tuesday. It's Tuesday. It's Tom Scott Day. Hey, Tom.
How you doing today, Todd?
What are you focused on is what I'm thinking about. Are you focused on what's happening in Congress or in Hartford or where?
Well, in the Middle East. I mean, one of these days you're going to ask me that question, and I'm going to say there's actually nothing on my nimble mind. But there really is. I mean, there's so much going on in the world. There's so much going on in the country. There's so much going on in Hartford. And by the way, as they careen towards their mandatory, constitutionally mandated adjournment date in early May in Connecticut, hold on to your wallets, because the committees have passed over 600 bills. And so far, only one bill has cleared the House and the Senate and was signed into law by the governor, which means there's going to be a last minute logjam. And even Senator Looney, the president pro tem of the Senate from New Haven, is talking about consolidating bills. Now, watch out for that, because you might have 10 or 15 concepts all put into a bill at the very last minute. And when senators and representatives are given a copy of the 200 or 300 page bill, it's still going to be warm from the copy machine because nobody's read it. But a select group of legislators, some staff, and maybe some special interest groups that actually help write this stuff, especially the green bill, by the way, keep a special eye out for that. Because, you know, we heard all this nonsense, Todd, earlier this year, that the left basically grudgingly surrendered when the governor said that banning the sale of gasoline-powered cars by next decade was a bridge too far. Mm-hmm. The left never gives up. and they still control everything. And one of the bills they still have, which is very, very much alive, is a bill that will declare a statewide climate crisis. Now, you can only imagine the kind of language that's going to be in the final bill that no one has seen yet, that's going to empower the legislature, the governor, and unelected bureaucrats to promulgate regulations. That's something they do often. They pass some bill which is somewhat vague, and they say the agency of cognizance shall promulgate regulations. So keep an eye on that one.
What is the agency of cognizance?
Well, it could be. Well, in this case, it would be the DEEP, the Department of Environmental Protection.
Oh, so you're saying that's what they call the agency in charge of that area of knowledge. And they would just they can do like the federal government does. They just make up their own laws.
Yeah. So we'll have these unelected, faceless bureaucrats effectively writing law in effect. I mean, we do have a committee that is underutilized, in my opinion. It's called the Regulations Review Committee. It's the only bipartisan committee in Hartford where you have an equal number of Republicans and Democrats, and you have a Republican chairman and a Democratic chairman. But they're more of a rubber stamp than anything else. So most of these regulations would have to come before that committee, and then you know, they'll just rubber stamp most of this stuff in all likelihood.
Has there been anything else that really stood out to you as a dangerous piece of legislation?
Well, it's more broadly speaking, is the sheer volume of legislation that's careening towards the finish line, much of which is going to require an expenditure which is so far unannounced and unaccounted for. And nowhere in all of these deliberations are we seeing any conversations about reducing the size and scope and power of government or the spending of government. But here's something that the legislature is trying to get the governor to fess up to. He's still sitting on money left over from the pandemic. And I wrote this down, $200 million, supposedly. And if they're acknowledging 200, it's probably more than that. And Looney and these lefties are looking for the governor to fess up and let them know exactly where that money is and how it's going to be spent. It's from the American Recovery Plan. And these are one-shot revenues. So whatever they spend this hundreds of millions of dollars on, next year they'll have a vested special interest.
Right. They'll be looking to fund
money it. Spent. They'll be looking to fund it, and they won't start at zero. And this is like found money. It was quote free end quote money from Washington. That's how they treat this stuff. Mm-hmm. It came from Washington, therefore it's free money. It's somebody else's money. It's not the taxpayers' money, and they're going to spend it. Now think about it. How long have we been over the pandemic as a practical matter now? It's been quite some time, yet they haven't even been able to spend all of the money, and they still have it. Has it occurred to anybody to maybe give it back to the federal treasury? Since the line item for interest, think about this, the line item for the annual interest payment on the national debt now exceeds the total amount we spend on the entire American military. That's just the interest on the national debt.
Yes, but Tom, haven't we gotten to a point in our history where the government is an enemy force that is just figuring out ways to scam us out of money? And these monies you're talking about, the ones that were appropriated supposedly for COVID, really make COVID look like its purpose was to cause lots of funding mechanisms to be created, which would allow the dumping of money into the states so that the states could be filling spending holes or debt problems being taken care of. In other words, it was to make the states whole. It wasn't to be able to protect us from COVID.
It was sold to the American people as an emergency expenditure. There were many economists of all stripes, by the way, who were saying, are you sure you want to do this? And of course, we know that one of the results of this has been inflation, which has significantly reduce the earning power of virtually every working person in America. No question about that. And what we've got here is a situation at the state and federal level where they're feeding the beast. We ought to have a different take on this. We need to starve the beast. We need to put the beast, which is the bloated state government and the bloated federal government, on a crash diet. Now, I realize I'm saying this sort of in an academic sense, because right now there isn't a majority of the House and Senate in Connecticut or a majority in the House and Senate in Washington, let alone a governor and a president to sign these things into law that would significantly reduce the size and scope of government. But it's coming home to roost. Coming home.
But isn't that because the average taxpayer still falls for the idea that government is well-meaning and spending money to solve problems rather than the truth?
I think roughly half of Americans have that view, and the other half either understand the reality and or don't know how to fight back. And that's a big part of the problem. When you think about $1 trillion deficits on the federal level, and if you think about the billions here in the state of Connecticut of unfunded liabilities that we still are struggling with in the state of Connecticut, when you think of those numbers, they are, I mean, it makes your eyes bleed and your head explode. And who can wrap their mind around that stuff? So even the 50% give or take of the Connecticut people or the national people who know we're spending way too much and government is doing way more than it ought to do and that it's constitutionally should be doing, how do you stop it? Well, one way to stop it is to simply vote for the people, even if they're not perfect, who you know are going to do more to slow things down and start reversing this nonsense, as opposed to those like our 5 members of Congress in Connecticut and our 2 U.S. senators, who we know are going to vote to keep spending more money and to put us trillions more in debt. We know that. The 2 U.S. senators and the 5 members of Congress are going to do that. That is a given. So why don't we try something else and vote against them, no matter who is running against them? Because all 7 of them are definitely guilty of putting us in this multi-trillion-dollar malaise that we find ourselves in.
We're talking to Tom Scott. So, Tom, you wanted to talk about the Middle East?
Well, you know, it's. I guess out of a sense of frustration, I said on your show early on, Todd, after the Hamas went into Israel and then Israel's reaction, and many say now, all these months later, overreaction, that we're losing sight of the most important issue here in my mind. And that is cutting off the head of the dragon or the head of the snake. And that's these bloodthirsty Stone Age Ayatollahs who chant themselves, death to America, death to Israel. And the fact that our president has helped fund international terrorism by giving billions of dollars, which President Trump stopped, has empowered them to fund people all over the Middle East and ultimately the globe, because we found Iranians coming over the border, the southern border, who were on the watch list. Think of all the people that we didn't catch, the gotaways, the people who are going out of their way not to get caught. It is extraordinarily naive for Americans to think that what's happening in Iran does not affect us, not only indirectly, but directly.
But are you saying that we're financing the terrorists?
We gave them fungible money. When we gave them billions of dollars that was previously blocked under Trump, it allowed them to free up the spending for their own military, for their drones and their missiles, but also to fund all of these radical and terrorist organizations around the globe, particularly in the Middle East. That's all Iranian. Everybody knows it. Every intelligence report shows that it's their money, it's their training, it's their advisors. And our own FBI director, who I have mixed feelings about, nevertheless, has been screaming from the rooftops in the last 2 years, saying that America is extremely vulnerable to some kind of domestic mischief or attack, whether it's on the grid or some horrific mass murder or something. And the fact that the president of the United States said a couple of days ago that Israel does not have the right to defend themselves by going on the offense against whatever they're going to go off go after in Iran, hopefully their nuclear facility. This has nothing to do with Hamas and Gaza. This has to do with the survival of certain nations in the Middle East and our own predicament that we can find ourselves in if Iran or their radicals launch something terrible against our homeland. And the FBI director is saying, watch out.
But if we're financing the terrorists and we're financing Israel, it seems we're invested in both sides of the war.
Well, pick a side. You know, pick a side. And it's a little difficult to separate what's happening in Gaza from the influence of Iran. I understand that. But there would be no viable Hamas if not for Iran. So let's just try to put that one aside for a moment. The fact is, by treaty and morally and ethically and otherwise, we are 100% committed to defending our allies around the world and the Middle East. And what does this say to our allies around the world when we have a feckless president who is publicly attacking an ally of this country?
Things don't look good. That's what it's saying.
Yeah, and you know, I'm happy to have that conversation about Gaza almost on a separate level, because I think Israel has gone too far, and this notion of a greater Israel is unfolding in front of the whole world right now. I mean, does anybody really think that a million Gazans who have been forced out of their homes in northern Gaza are going to have anything to go home to? And where are those people going to go? What sort of squalor are they going to be living in? And how many radicals are going to be breeded from the squalor that's being created by the devastation that's happened in northern Gaza? And look, I'm not going to second guess the military analysts and leaders who have to extract Hamas from civilian populations. It's not easy. I get that. But Netanyahu himself, the prime minister of Israel, said a few years ago that, in effect, Hamas was good for Israel in the sense that as long as Hamas was in charge of the West Bank or of Gaza, that Israel would have no partner to negotiate to set up a two-state solution. So there's a lot going on over there, and it's hard to separate what's happening in Gaza from what's happening with Iran. But the fact is, I hope Israel takes out Iran's nuclear capability. They will be doing not only themselves a favor, but us and the rest of the world. And we're not going to do it, apparently. So hopefully they do.
Well, that would be a delightful outcome. All right, Tom Scott, great to talk with you, sir. And we'll do it again next week.
Anytime. You bet.
All righty. That's Tom Scott, former state senator for a long time ago. And now he imparts his wisdom to us here on WTIC. Don't forget, we're going to leave you now, not the radio station, but our 3 hours of its content. But you can visit us anytime you like by calling the Rant Line and making your voice heard, 860-751-4698. That's the phone number. And Mark Christopher's in the BPS Lawyers Traffic Center, continuing to watch the roads and report to us on the pitfalls on the ride. Marcus, have a great night, sir.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.